This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Koziol.
Potential 2-on-1 here as Norris off the puck. Here's the carry and scores! Forget the pass! Bo Byram lets it rip and Buffalo has scored two straight here on New Year's Eve to lead it 2-1.
Bo Byram with a big shot, high corner in the late stages of the second period. That's all Buffalo would need, but they add on some icing on the cake, some breathing room, courtesy of Tage Thompson. He had two goals in the third. Buffalo wins it 4-1. That goal from Byram, though, is our goal of the game tonight, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you here into the postgame, Brian Koziol with you. And we'll get to Paul Hamilton coming up in just a moment. Yes, 10. It has reached the win streak, tying the franchise record for most wins in a season. They'll try to break that record Saturday in Columbus at 3 o'clock. Well, this team, how they are finishing off games. This is, I think, the most impressive win of the 10. I mean, there's so many things that have been really good along the way. But you give up a goal 15 seconds in, zero panic. They're fine. They play with Dallas the rest of the way in the first. And then in the second and in the third, they do what they've been doing throughout this entire streak. They are getting better as the game goes on. They're starting to take over pace of play, not backing down in terms of the physicality, winning battles. And then in the third, Buffalo putting on that extra pressure. Thompson twice scoring, just 2-14 apart. Real impressive. Hard work, hard shift on that third goal, and then he just a laser shot. Tage doing what he does on that fourth one. Tage is up to 20 now. He's on pace for over 40. The Sabres have yet to hit the halfway mark. They're at game 39, and he's already at 20. So he's on pace to be over 40, and the Sabres on pace to be a playoff team. We know there's a lot of work to go, but right now the Sabres got to be feeling good about themselves as they are sitting in a playoff position. We'll update you on the standings here coming up in just a few moments. All right, let's get to Paul Hamilton now. Jeez, Paul, these third periods, how Buffalo has been playing these as of late, they are putting on a clinic in terms of how to hold on to a lead, how to pull away. To do this in Dallas's building, super impressive, and that's a damn good team that they just beat here. By the record, they're the second-best team in the NHL, but, man, Buffalo looked like they were playing the part and playing executing the plan exactly how they wanted to in the third.
Well, if you're going to beat the second-best team in the NHL, you have to play like that. And I don't think there's any question that was the Sabres' best game of the year. And they've played some good ones recently. They've had to win 10 in a row. But just to dominate the Dallas Stars like they did and to fall behind 15 seconds into the game because you got a schmozzle behind the net and it winds up in your net. And as I mentioned to you earlier, last year and the year before and the year before that, it would have been 4-0 Stars by the end of the first period because they all would have hung their heads and said, uh-oh, and the whole nine yards. But they went the other way. They just pulled their socks up and said, stuff happens. You know what? Let's go play hockey. And that's exactly what they did, is they just went out and played hockey. And Tage Thompson by far was their best player. And how many times have we said your best players have to be your best players? And I think we can say in the last 10 games, the Sabres' best players absolutely have been their best players. And, you know, they got the result they deserved. There's sometimes they've talked about in the past that they felt they deserved a better fate. Well, they got exactly what they deserved in this game, and that was a hard-fought 4-1 win. In my notes, when that last goal by Thompson, I wrote, everybody on the line just worked as hard as they possibly could. And that's why the first goal by Thompson. Everybody on the line worked as hard as they could, and that's why they got the goal, because everybody was busting it around the net. Byram got the puck to the net, and next thing you know, it's in the net. And that's how you do it. Just work hard and keep working hard. And Rob Ray said he was talking to people in Dallas who were telling him that's the best forechecking the Stars have seen all year. And led by Dunn, Malenstein, and Greenway. They're the ones that get that going. They go in and soften up the D, and then it's contagious. Then the rest of the line start working hard. And it just seems like the Dunn line is in the offensive zone all night. I mean, it's almost like you never see them having to defend, because all they do is forecheck and all they do is crash the net. They don't ever score. Although Lindy said he has the feeling Dunn's going to score soon because he keeps getting chances. I'm not going to say no. Maybe. He does keep getting chances, and when you're standing in the crease all night, a puck's going to go in off you or something one of these nights. So, I think absolutely that was their best game of the year.
Paul Thompson, obviously, there, his skill on display on that second one where he gets the shot. But you said it. I feel like I want to, even though I'm almost going to say the exact same thing. The shift, all five players are working so hard. I wrote, best shift of game, super hard work, everyone in, everyone's at the net, Thompson finds a way to put the rebound in. Like, that was my notes on that goal there. Just, I mean, wow. Just, I mean, it's everything that Lindy has been asking this team to do about all buying in, making smart decisions, you know, winning physical battles, being around the net, being at the net, getting pucks at the net, like finishing, all on display kind of in that 30-second span right there.
Well, Krebs is laying on his back. You got Doan and Thompson crashing. I mean, and then you also needed to have Byram getting a shot through to the net. He got it through. You know, and that's what you needed. You had to get a shot through, and he did. And by getting that shot through, I forgot the Sabres. I'm watching the last time they won 10 in a row as a Skinner overtime goal, and they got those those dark blue Sabre jerseys. I forgot they wore those dark blue things. Obviously, they don't wear those anymore. It was just – I just love, and as I said, Krebs takes a lot of garbage from people because he doesn't score 50 goals. He was the number one pick, but you know what he does do? I think what you have to do is forget about him being a number one pick. Is he a bust as a number one pick? Okay, probably. But he does other things. I mean, you need people like him to be on your team if you're going to be successful in a championship team. What I mean by that is guys who are always around the net, always in the crease, always winning the battle, always sticking up for teammates, always having somebody's back, always getting back hard. I mean, just this types of things, just playing hard hockey. And that's what he does. But he doesn't have many goals, so people get on his back. He's not 6'7", and he doesn't weigh 275, so people get on his back, although he'll fight anybody. He doesn't care. He'll fight the toughest guy in the league if he has to, and he'll take a beating if he has to, and he doesn't care because he always shows up. That's why I find it hard to believe that I get so many people telling me, and recently, like in the last week, that he should be sent to the minors and he should be bought out and this, that, the other thing. I just think there's some guys on the team, you just have to see what they bring to the table to maybe understand what their worth. Greenway's the same way, to understand what their worth is. They bring different things to the table, and you need that. And I always use the Lightning as an example. They got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Lightning clearly are the best team in the league. And then the Lightning had thought, well, wait a minute. We have Stamkos and Kucherov and Point, and it goes, you know, the talent that they have, it goes right down the line. How is this happening? Well, it happened because they didn't have players like Krebs and Greenway and Dunn and Malenstein. The guys that you know, just put their nose to the grindstone, you needed those guys. So they went out and got them. And then they won two Stanley Cups in a row. They didn't change their talent. They didn't change their high-end guys. They kept those guys because they are such great hockey players. But they helped them along by getting other guys that could complement them. How many times do we hear McDermott say, play complementary football, complementary football? Well, I guess what I'm saying is I'm talking about complementary hockey.
That's right. 4-1 the final. Kind of similar to the Boston game where Buffalo gave up an early first period goal and then came back with four unanswered. But I think this one they were even more physical and more high energy along the way. 10 straight wins, Buffalo winning 4-1. Let's get in some final stats. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, 7-6, Dallas. It ends up 31-29 in favor of the Sabres. Both teams 0-for-2 on the power play in this one tonight. It's Lukanen who gets the win, 28 saves. DeSmith the loss, 27 saves. And now your three stars of the game, brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home comforts game plan. Get started at bluestarhs.com. Lukanen for the Sabres with the win and 28 saves. He's star number three. Byram with his ninth of the season. He also assisted on the first Thompson goal. He is star number two. And Tage Thompson, who gets his 19th and 20th of the season. He also assisted on the Doan goal. He is star number one. So those, again, your Blue Star Home Services, three stars of the game. The attendance tonight in Dallas, 18,532. And Buffalo will try to break the franchise record for consecutive wins Saturday, 3 o'clock in Columbus. And for all of you listening on our flagship on WGR, I'll have the pregame at 2. Paul, how about some individual stats here? Thompson tonight, 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points, a plus 3 in 18:45. He has 11 shot attempts in this game. He was doing everything that he needs to do. I think we know, we saw the report today about him being on Team USA. If Team USA officials were watching tonight, they had to be pretty happy with seeing Thompson there.
And that might have given him a shot of adrenaline, knowing that he
You're
made
right.
the team. Because he knows. I mean, he can't tell people because, just to let people know, if you're watching the Today Show in the 8 o'clock hour on Friday, you will see Team USA introduced. Emily Kaplan says Tage Thompson is part of it and well-deserved. Wouldn't shock me if Alex Tuch is part of it, just because of the type of game that he plays, or at least in line to be an injury replacement if they need one. So we'll see. We'll see about Tuch, but we know that Thompson has made it, so that could have given him a boost. But you know, I know I keep repeating myself, but if you're going to be a good team, and it's one of the reasons why the Sabres in the beginning of this month had never won more than two games in a row. because there were too many games that their best players weren't their best players. And Lindy Ruff brought it up many times. I've brought it up many times. Jarmo Kekalainen brought it up in his press conference. And there's no question in these 10 games, part of the reason is their best players have been their best players. And the other players have come along with them, and you've gotten the goaltending. You know, a lot of folks could have said, and I totally would understood, oh, no, Lyon's hurt. He's back in Buffalo. Uh-oh. And now you're going to go in and play the second-best team in the National Hockey League in the Dallas Stars? Well, it looks like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has pulled his bootstraps up and decided, if I'm going to be in the NHL or if I want to get some time in the net in Buffalo, I have to play better. And he's done that in the last three games, starting with the win in New Jersey. He had not won a road game all year. He was 0-4-1 in New Jersey. And he goes in, plays great, and they win the hockey game. And then he gets the start in Boston coming out of the break, which I thought was a mistake. And I'll keep saying there's a reason why I'm not the coach of the Buffalo Sabres, because it wasn't a mistake. They beat the Boston Bruins 4-1. Again, you know, people thought maybe the one goal he let in he should have had, but he made some stellar saves in that game when he had to. You know, he made the big save at the big time. So what if the one goal? They won 4-1. So, I mean, they get the win, and now Lyon's going to be out for we don't know how long. So now it's on Luukkonen's back. It's your show now. You haven't really had the show since the last month and a half, 2 years ago. You weren't able to handle the show last year for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason was, but he never really could get it back, what he had 2 years ago in those 30 games when he was one of the top goaltenders in the National Hockey League by numbers. But the last three games is exactly how he played in 2 years ago. And if the Sabres are going to be successful, they have to have goaltending. And they certainly, in the last 10 games, 7 from Lyon and 3 from Luukkonen, they have gotten stellar goaltending.
Absolutely. 4-1 the final. Again, Sabres will be at Columbus on Saturday at 3 o'clock. We'll have the pregame on our flagship on WGR starting at 2. Paul, just a couple of other individual players to talk about. As a team, Paul, they out-hit Dallas for what, you know, again, the hit sheet on the stat sheet, we know there's sometimes some debating here and there, but they out-hit Dallas 24-15. That's a team that I feel like always out-hits Buffalo.
Yes,
you have Malenstein
with
5.
Same thing with St. Louis, and I don't know if St. Louis did either. I didn't look, but it didn't seem like the Sabres were getting knocked around at that game.
No. Malenstein 5, Doan and Greenway with 4, Byram with 3. They are not backing down. I mean, how many games have we seen them play bigger, heavier teams, especially from the West, that the Sabres, they don't even look like they maybe belong on the same ice? We saw them against Dallas, St. Louis, Seattle. I'm thinking of some of these teams like this. And, man, this one tonight, I mean, you wouldn't have known it at all of maybe where these teams were in the standings or even just previous, you know, results with just how Buffalo, the physicality piece of it tonight, how good they were.
And that's the Dunn, Malenstein, and Greenway effect. You know, as I mentioned, they hardly play any time in their defensive zone. They don't score usually, but they basically play the whole game around the opponent's net or around the wall, and they win the battles, and they get the pucks to the net, and it sets up the next line that comes out on the ice and the line after that, and then here they come again. And I just watch the defensemen when they're out there. They're looking over their shoulder. That's what that does. And I know Craig Revay, I used to be on, you know, the show more than I am now, but I've been on with him. And the two of us really were pounding the table together for I don't know how many years saying that's the problem with the Buffalo Sabres. They aren't built right. It was Team Munchkin. All they did is draft Munchkins. And it's great to have talent, but every guy was Benson size. And it was just like they get thrown around and you know, they couldn't do much. And they finally realized that they had to start drafting bigger players, which they have done. Getting bigger players on the ice. They sent a second-round pick for Malenstein. At the time, a lot of people said that's too much. I don't necessarily disagree with that. It's what they needed. And what Adams had said is they were going to try to trade to get an extra pick so they could trade it. That's what they did. They got an extra second round pick, and then they traded it to get Mallenstein because Mallenstein is what the team needed. You know, people got upset when they traded Savoy for McLeod. What are you doing? Well, you had three first-round picks that year. That was the year they took Savoy, Austlin, and Kulik. Again, Small, another one of the Munchkins. Savoy could turn into a really good player, and it doesn't matter. They needed a player like McLeod. They needed a guy who had speed, could play both ends of the ice. They didn't have that. That's what you want. You know, you want your top six, and then the next line, you want a guy like McLeod centering it. And how many times has his speed led to offense or his speed led to him getting back to break up plays? So, and he scored 20 goals last year, which was by far a career high. So if the Buffalo Sabres are satisfied, and they should be with what they got with McLeod, especially with the contract they signed him to, it doesn't matter what Savoy does. Savoy can go to Edmonton and score 30 goals. It's fine. Buffalo got what it needed. And that's what I talk about with Kevin Adams. All his trades were not bad. He made some good trades. I will maintain it was his inactivity that was his weakness more than his activity.
Yep. Well, Paul, as we look ahead to Columbus here to wrap things up with you, I think Luukkonen would be in. There's rest time in between built in here. The only maybe lineup question I have for you, we'll have to see what the status is. If I know Kesselring got dinged up there. We'll see if there's any sort of lasting effect with that.
Did you see him come back? I don't think he did because I'm looking at his time on the ice report. The last time he was on the ice was at 12:54, and I think that probably was around the time he got hit, which means he went the last 7-8 minutes without playing.
He only played 12 minutes.
Yeah, I know he limped to the bench, stayed on the bench, but, of course, that's the last I saw of him, and I do not remember him getting back on the ice after that. I wondered if you might have seen him.
I did not, so I feel like I would have made a note had I saw them of that. So maybe we'll see what Lindy Ruff says afterwards in this game here tonight. We can get an update on that and get it on before we leave the air. That'll be something to keep an eye on. And what about Zucker, Paul? The Sabre power play 0 for the night. Again, only 0 for 2. At some point, though, if he's ready, superstitions, old school coaches would say,
telling you,
you don't mess with things. Yeah,
exactly.
But, I mean, he's a really good player. Dahlin left for a game for other reasons. It wasn't like you weren't going to put Dahlin back in because they kept winning. They won the game without him. So, Zucker's got to come back, right? Yeah.
All right. Here are your options. You could send down Austlin. That's not an option anymore. Maybe it was at one point. Not anymore. You could send down Dunn. I think that would be stupid. I think you really have a good thing going with that line. I just don't think that would be smart. You can send down Kozak. I'm a Kozak fan. But it might be all you can do right now. Or you could put Bryson in the lineup, depending on what's going on with Kesselring. If Kesselring can play, you could put Bryson in the lineup. It's the last game of the trip, and send Metsä down. Metsä only has to play one game in the American Hockey League and could come back. And then you could activate Zucker that way. Zucker, what would my move be? And you can tell me what your move would be. I gave you some time to think about it. My move would be Kozak. As much as I like him, I think he would be the guy I would send down, and I would activate Zucker.
I think I agree. I would want to think about Metsä. However, Paul, if Kesselring is hurt, then you probably don't even have the Metsä option, right?
It depends how long is he hurt. Is Kesselring hurt for a week where you can IR him?
That's
then
true.
You can use the spot that way.
And he comes off the roster, yeah.
You don't know what kind of injury he might have or if he's going to be off. It would be 7 days as of today. So he would have to stay on IR until next Friday. So if it's a situation where you're pretty sure it might be a week, you could IR him and there's your spot. And you could activate Zucker. But I'm using the Kesselring is okay and going to be on the team. as much as I don't really want to send Kozak down, it could be the same situation you had with Austin. When they sent him down, they told him, you'll be back. We just have a numbers game right now. We have to send you down right now. The reason he wasn't back the game before was he hadn't played a game in the AHL yet. So once he played that game in the AHL, that's when they called him back and he could play. That's the new rule because teams were like sending guys down to Rochester but keeping them with the team. They never actually went to Rochester. And they kept saying, no, that's not right. If you're sending somebody down, he's got to go down. And that's exactly what happens now. But the problem was Rochester was on a bit of a break and didn't play for a week. So he had to wait to play his first game, and he did. He played it, and the next day he was on his way back to the Sabres to come back. So, you know, Kozak, I think, would be back. It's not like the Sabres are never going to get any more injuries. So he would be first call back, I'm sure. And so that's why I think that's probably the way I would go.
Yeah, and 100% I agree with you. Auslan does not come out of the lineup. He's playing too good.
Yeah.
It's not even an option anymore, and that's a good thing. That means he's progressed like you wanted him to. So that's a good thing.
And one thing Kevin Adams said, and I think for the most part he stayed pretty true to it. He's not the GM anymore, but he said if you earn the place to be here, you're going to be here. And throughout his tenure, I think that's basically been true. I think guys have been here, you know, that have kind of fought their way onto the roster that maybe you weren't expecting. Zach Benson would be a perfect example. Who had him making the roster his rookie year? You know, so, you know, the Auslan thing, as I said, was just, I think it was only going to be till the team got back home, and then he was going to come back. It's what we need to do right this second, but it's not anything on him, and I'm sure he was told, you'll be back very, very soon, and it was as soon as they could bring him back that he was back. So, you know, and I think Auslan has gotten to the point now where he has earned a spot on this team. And I think where I underestimated was the 2 years he spent in Sweden, where he had told the team that any team that drafts me, I'm going to spend my first 2 years playing pro in Sweden. It's almost like playing in the minors here. Mm-hmm. And because I felt he needed more time in Rochester, as well as I thought he played at the end of last year. He just couldn't break through. But I thought he looked good on the ice, and he didn't embarrass himself or anything. I just thought, you know what, don't rush him. Let him play down in Rochester another year. If you need him a little bit up here, call him up. But he has shown, and I think what I underestimated was the 2 years he played pro hockey in Sweden. So actually, this is his fourth pro year. Played 2 years there, one in Rochester, and now this is his fourth year at age 21. He's going to be 22 soon. So that's where I think I underestimated a little bit. He really has put the time in, and you can see how smart a player that he is.
Okay, Paul, good stuff. I wish you a happy new year, a safe trip to Columbus, and we'll talk on the pregame on Saturday at 2.
Yeah, and just to briefly tell the fans, I think Lindy Ruff is being smart here with what he's doing with the team. Of course, you know, it's New Year's Eve. Let him go out, have fun. Give him New Year's Day off in Dallas. Weather's better there. Where would you rather be? Dallas, Columbus, let's face it. Right. You know, so, and then practice in Dallas on Friday. The one thing he talked about is he didn't want to fly tonight and get them to Columbus and get them to bed really late and that kind of thing. This way, whatever they do, they can celebrate New Year's, but get a good night's sleep. They don't have practice tomorrow. They have to have the day off that the collective bargaining agreement said. Practice in Dallas, get a skate in, and then fly to Columbus on Friday, play on Saturday. I actually think that's a smart move, especially the move of why fly tonight when you don't have to and tire the team out, have them get to bed. Dallas is a good place to stay. Just let them stay there. And I think he's doing the right thing.
Yep. Paul, thanks so much. We will talk to you Saturday at 2 for the Sabres and the Blue Jackets.
Yep. Everybody have a good new year. Be careful out there. Of course, we had the snow and everything. Visibility is good, but the snow wasn't good. I was out in it right before pregame. Enjoy yourselves, and we will see you next year. I see Marty's popping the champagne already, so Marty's ready with Duffer. So they're celebrating the new year. I know Brian probably has been popping the champagne at work there. So happy new year to everybody.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton with us here. Yes, our final broadcast of 2025. But we still got more to come. Don't go anywhere. We've got to get a couple more highlights in, including our save of the game for Mukko-Pekka Luukkonen. We're going to go around the league, update you on the standings. I'm looking forward to reading some tweets. Send them in at BrianWGRs. We'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. But at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we're going to actually we have Lindy Ruff from Dallas, so we're going to see if we can get his thoughts on the 10th straight win and an update on if Kesselring is all right or not. Also, Derek Kramer, who's taking on our social media work tonight and our game story at WGR550.com. He and I are going to chat for a little bit, too. So send your tweets in at BrianWGR as we roll on here on the postgame. 4-1, Buffalo beats Dallas in Dallas against the Stars. 10 straight wins for the Sabres to tie the franchise record. I'm Brian Kulziel. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year, everybody. More postgame coming up. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
The Stars look to counter here. They're going to have a man going in front of the net. It's Blackwell is there. So is Luukkonen. What a save. Oh, my goodness. He had to make that one, and he did.
Yes, he did. Dan Dunleavy there on the call. After Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen led in the first shot of the game, he stopped the rest of them the rest of the way. 29 shots, 28 saves. Luukkonen, third star honors. That one, our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 4-1 Buffalo. They win in Dallas against the Stars. They'll finish 2025 in a playoff spot with 10 straight victories. We'll update you on the standings, get the scores. We'll read some tweets. Send them in at BrianWGR. Also, Derek Kramer going to join us for a few minutes. But let's go to the locker room in Dallas and hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff.
Could kind of be like a benchmark game for you. What impressed you about the way your team handled the Dallas?
Well, the fact that it was a real tight game and until the third period when, you know, we got a couple and we're able to win the game. I mean, it wasn't the start we wanted, but I think the confidence in the team is that we can come back and win games.
Do you even have to say anything when they're down 1-0 at this point, or are they comfortable, you know, in
no,
that situation?
No, you don't have to say anything. We didn't handle a puck well in the neutral zone and, you know, gave them an opportunity. And I thought the response the rest of the game was good.
You know, what is one thing, a couple things that maybe people don't realize about what it takes for a team to win 10 games in a row?
Well, you've got to have a lot of things going for you. I mean, some nights your goalies win you games. I think some nights your top guys win you games when you're on a roll like this. And then there's nights where, you know, a line like Dunn's line has a big night and controls the game and helps you win a game. But there's a lot of little things, from the block shots to being in lanes to slowing people up going in the zone. Every night there's probably something a little bit different that helps you win.
You had guys blocking shots when you're up 4-1 and there's only a couple minutes left in the game. Does that tell you something about the
win? It tells you where we're at. A guy like Austin who, you know, got in front of a shot when it was 4-1. You look at the kill we had in the third period. It was a great kill. You know, I look at the one play where UPL, great poke check on their guy to take away another great chance. So the desperation inside the game, the wall battles, I thought were real good. It was like a playoff game. It was two good teams playing hockey.
Your goalie, Pio, how would you describe the game he played tonight?
I thought he played excellent. He's his last while here, he's played very good hockey for us. You know, and that's the key to getting on a run, too, is usually your goaltenders. He's usually making those big saves at big times, and our goalies have been giving us the big saves.
Cage Thompson, third period, has those two goals. What do you think sparked that for him?
Hunger to win. You know, saw an opportunity, great battle around net front. I thought that line did a good job down low around their goaltender. And then the next one, that's just pure. He just fired a rocket. You give him that much time from there, and he hit his mark. We've seen before where he scores a lot of goals from there.
All right, there is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff from Dallas. So no update on Kesselring there asked as we get our locker room reports brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 4-1 Buffalo the score. Let's bring in Derek Kramer now. Derek and I are going to read some tweets here. Before we get to some of those, Derek, just how amazing is this team right now in how they're able to close out games, hold on to a lead, pull away with a lead like tonight against maybe their most difficult team of this 10-game winning streak?
I think I look at today's game, Brian, and the first thing I started thinking about in that third period was a quote from Jarmo Kekäläinen's opening press conference. Losing to teams with less talents that outwork you is unacceptable. Needless to say, I think that message has been well received, because a lot of this winning streak, Brian, has not just become about talent or, you know, you're just goalieing them the entire time. They are playing well with defense, but that requires effort. They are getting to pucks with effort. They are back-checking with effort, and it's very visible. It may not be analytically charted the entire time, the effort that's going on here, but this is what happens when you mix the talent of the roster with players that have understood the message, oh, if we're not trying, we're out of here. Or it is, I'm not going to get my opportunity to be at this position right now, like getting this much ice time on another team. I might have to pack my bags. Nobody likes moving halfway through a year. The message has been received. They are not just beating you now. They are outworking you. And until proven otherwise, there's nothing you can do about it if you're an opponent.
That's right. No, they've been really, really good. And Buffalo playing with such confidence. It's really, really impressive. All right, let's read some tweets here as we get connect with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send them in at BrianWGR. Okay, Mark says the Sabres smothered the Stars offense. They can beat anybody when they play like that. Derek, for the ability to shut down some of the really, really skilled offensive players on that Dallas team and do it with confidence, that was impressive.
It was, again, that's what effort does for you. You see a play where Lukanen's sliding over to make the save, but Zach Benson's got it covered. Or you see Josh Norris working on the boards to make sure that he can stop a play from happening there. Jordan Greenway hustles to get a puck dumped out from the penalty kill. It is not just the talent anymore. It is players bought in and working. And when you're shutting down players like Hintz, Duchesne, Robertson, Heiskanen, It's not an accident anymore. This is not the same as the 2018 win streak, where you needed a lot of overtime or shootouts to win in those things, or, you know, getting a little bit luckier on that front. It is now, no, we're going to come to work, and you're not going to outwork us.
Tweet from Joel says, Tage Thompson behind the net was straight dancing on his skates before passing it out to Doan for his goal. Go Sabres, says Joel. That play from Thompson, I mean, Thompson scores twice, but his most impressive one was what he did down below the goal line on that play. Not only from the first move where he created the space, but then he takes the puck all the way around to the other side of the net and then turns his back to the defenseman and then says, get out of here. And then, all right, now I want to look in front. Oh, here's Josh Doan. Here you go. Goal. Like, wow, that was an awesome sequence from Tage.
Yeah, and that's the talent part. I mean, Tage does some nasty stuff behind the net. His second goal is an absolute laser.
Yep.
Was it the Philadelphia game in the win streak where Tortorella is like, I don't like the effort that Thompson put in the first period or something like that? This is where you can get with Tage Thompson, is when he's putting his head down, he's making great plays, and that first goal, he's working and gets to the net for a rebound. But yeah, no, that play behind the net was absolutely nasty stuff, and that is how you end up on an Olympic roster, reportedly.
That's right. Mark says, Brian, they are right there. As I mentioned before, if we could just get the power play going, it would make us legit. Watch out, Colorado.
Settle down.
The Colorado thing, they're in their own league right now.
Yeah,
two regulation losses is unbelievable. But the power play point, Derek, you and I talked a little bit about it. We were exchanging some texts too. Like, you've got Jason Zucker, who's been their, I think, easy to say, well, he's been their best power play player this year. And if they got to figure out a way, I know Paul and I were debating maybe who comes out. If Kesselring's healthy, maybe Metsä goes down and you just put, and you, you know, you, you, I don't know. and then how that ends up working. I mean, you got to figure out a way to find a roster spot. This is a good problem right now. I know you could take out Dunn, but that line of Dunn, Malenstein, and Greenway have just been awesome in terms of their physicality and what they've been doing. So they don't have a ton of options, but this is, I guess, ultimately, when you're taking out players that don't, we shouldn't come out, or you know, you don't want them to come out, ultimately that means your team is deep, and we haven't been able to say that in the 14-year drought.
Yeah, we haven't been able to say that very often, and it really comes down to what are you willing to lose? And I think Jarmo Kekalainen has a little bit more of a willingness to make a move if he has to there. If Jason Zucker is healthy enough and they need him back in that lineup, he's still tied for the team lead with 9 points on the power play, Brian. And he's played 17, now 18 less games. And you need that weapon in the lineup because ultimately you've won 10 in a row and your roster still has an improvement sitting on the bench. That's the scary part about this. They can get better. And you have to make some difficult decisions. That's why the last general manager got fired.
Yep, I agree. Peter says, been a Sabre fan for over 50 years. I am stunned by this turnaround. Never my wildest thoughts would I have predicted this. Just incredible. Go Sabres. Richard said, the weight of the world is off their shoulder. Imagine what it was like playing under Kevin Adams, knowing that he's the reason no one takes you seriously with his inability to do his job while constantly putting his foot in his mouth in the media. Now they're playing free. Look, it's very, very easy. I'm not going to defend Kevin Adams here. It's very, very easy to go after Kevin Adams with what they're doing now. Let's also remind everybody in the same breath, every single player that's playing right now was rostered at some point, or you know, was a piece of Kevin Adams' plan. So, like, I don't want to go too far and just say, like, everything he did was trash. Because he did acquire Josh Doan. You know, he did acquire Bo Byram. He, you know, there are some Noah Austin. Like, there's some good things here. I think Paul says it right. It wasn't necessarily the moves that he made. It was the moves that he didn't make, or the inactivity and responding when the team was in need, which happened quite a bit during his tenure. And look, let's face it. The team was in last. You needed to turn the page, and it probably needed to be turned much before this season. But I can't sit here and say everything that he did was bad, because a lot of these things that are happening right now were some of the players that he just acquired. So I'm spinning in circles here, so maybe Derek just jump in with me here. To bash Adams, I guess, is easy to do at this moment, but we shouldn't necessarily say that every single thing that's happening good on the ice right now is because he's gone.
And I think that there's a little bit you can bring into this. I'm starting to, the more they're stacking wins, Brian, the more I'm finding the balance, which is, if they make the playoffs, we should acknowledge Kevin Adams had a vision and it has paid off. It was late, but it paid off. And at the same time, Adams did more than enough to have himself let go. That's the balance I'm playing with here and kind of settling into. His inactivity ultimately leads to him being dismissed. But he did put the roster together. We do have to give him some credit here. And I will say, though, the bump that is coming from this team, the effort that is being put together from this team, that's the accountability that the Sabres had as a buzzword several years ago. Don Granato gets let go. The word accountability is being thrown around, this, that, and the other. And for 2 years, they're kind of just, or for 1.5 years, they're kind of just meh. They don't really put the effort in on a nightly basis. And a new GM comes in, and again, there's a human element to this. If your boss is not inspiring you, how much work are you really going to put in? And that can be said to anybody listening on the airwaves right now. When you go to work and your boss is not really being held accountable for not doing a good enough job, why should you try harder? That's a human element. Some people will still do it because they're grinders. Look at Zach Benson as the relatable piece here. But enough people will go ahead and say, man, this stinks. Brian, they had to go 4 months last year knowing full well that nothing that they did was going to make a difference. That is a very taxing thing. Oh, they get paid millions. It's still human beings. They're still going to work, and they can do nothing about the situation that they are in. That is taxing.
Yeah, they might have felt helpless, as if, like, look, we can't do anything, and he's not doing anything.
Right.
So
they don't make a single roster move during the 13-game losing streak a year ago. It's hard to go into work every single day knowing that nothing is going to change. And that's what that last 4 months was last year. And now this year, to start it off, they start poorly. They're not always working as hard as they should or they could, as this streak is proving. And it's because the guy up top has not been held accountable for his inactivity, the failures that are going on during his watch. So I think there is something to it where Adams gets let go and the team responds in kind, but this streak also started while he was still here. The rumor started when the streak begins, and maybe that has something to do with it, but we're not in the room. We're not going to get that answer from the athletes. I can guarantee you that.
No. 4-1 the final. Buffalo beats Dallas. 10 straight wins as the Sabres get it done here tonight. And we appreciate, again, all the tweets coming in at Brian WGR. Derek, let's finish here with what's next here. They've got Columbus dead last in the East, Vancouver after that at home, second last in the West. So the opportunity to maybe push this more is on paper sitting there for them.
And it's funny because you asked about this pregame. We had the same mentality about it of this is tantalizing. I like the schedule coming up. And I even said, even if they lose, I like the schedule coming up. Well, that doesn't change now. You get a chance to set a new franchise record. You have a chance to keep winning because the problem is the rest of the East is still doing it too. The pressure's still on you, even though you've won 10 straight, which is a weird thing to say, but that's just how it's shaking down right now. Luckily, the Sabres are finding a way to keep pace.
That's right. Derek, thank you for your work tonight. Appreciate it.
Brian, what an end to 2025, and happy New Year to you. I have a small inkling that I might be talking to you before pregame on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Saturday is going to be, we'll just call it an extended Sabres pregame. I know we're going to have a Bills game. Now, we might even get more news before you're on the air on Saturday about how the Bills are going to be attacking this game, whether who's playing and who's sitting.
Mm-hmm.
The more and more that we find out that maybe players are sitting, the more and more your Sports Talk Saturday thing is going to turn into an extended Sabres pregame.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if much of that matters, Brian. I've already booked a couple hockey guests, and I'm already full throttle here.
Love it. Thanks, Derek. Have a good rest of your 2025.
Yes, I will enjoy the 38 minutes left of this, but you as well, Brian.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Derek Kramer with us here on the postgame. 4-1 the final. Let's see what happened in the rest of the NHL as we get our final drive around the league. It's brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. All right, scores from elsewhere around the NHL. There are three other games still going on. Colorado doing what they do, winning. They are up 5-0 on St. Louis halfway through the third, so they're about to get to their 30th win and be 32-7. Incredible. Calgary beating Philadelphia after two periods, 4-1 the score there. And Boston has a 4-1 lead in Edmonton after two periods of play. All the rest of the NHL games are finals. Earlier today, the Capitals doubled up the Rangers 6-3. Nashville won in Vegas 4-2. Tampa winning in overtime in Anaheim against the Ducks 4-3 the final. Also 4-3 winners for San Jose over Minnesota. That was in a shootout. The Red Wings stay in first place in the Atlantic. They beat Winnipeg 2-1. The Jets are struggling. They are in dead last in the West. The Devils beat the Blue Jackets 3-2. Columbus is who Buffalo will play next, coming up on Saturday at 3. A couple of Big Four local men's college hoop scores. UB improves to 12-2. They win at NIU 81-67. St. Bonaventure falling on the road in the A-10 at VCU. The Bonnies drop to 11-3. VCU wins 89-82. Syracuse losing at home at the Dome to Clemson in the ACC opener 64-61. College football playoff tonight. Ohio State upset. They're out. Miami wins 24-14. Early 14-0 lead for the Hurricanes. They'll move on to the semifinals, and Ohio State again is out. Ohio State looked rusty early. They had the bye. by teams all time now in the college football playoffs are 0-5. So beware tomorrow to Texas Tech, Indiana, and Georgia. Three more college playoffs tomorrow. Noon is the Orange Bowl with Oregon and Texas Tech. 4 o'clock is the Rose Bowl with Alabama and Indiana. And then 8 o'clock, the Sugar Bowl with Ole Miss and Georgia. All right. Our score, Buffalo 4, Dallas 1. The latest standings as of this moment, whether you want to look at points percentage or points, it doesn't matter. The Sabres are in the postseason. If you look at points, they're wild card 2. If you look at points percentage, they're wild card 1. But either way, Buffalo now 21-14-4, 46 points, and they'll look to try to make it 11 in a row and set the franchise record against Columbus on Saturday. 3 o'clock puck drop, 2 o'clock pregame. As Derek said, he'll have sports talk Saturday on WGR starting at 11. So lots of Saber talk coming your way on Saturday. And with that here, as we reach the end of the postgame, want to thank everybody for listening throughout all of 2025. We know many of the postgames in 2025, whether it was last year or this year, have been a lot of talk about losses. It's been really refreshing and really fun. I hope you could maybe even feel it in all of our voices that this is energizing to us that have been working on this broadcast for many, many, many seasons. So I hope you've been enjoying it as well, and appreciate you being with us throughout if you've been listening here tonight from start to finish. With that, we'll wrap it up here on the postgame. I want to thank our crew, Dan Dell, our network producer. Thank you, Dan. Derek Kramer on our social media, and of course, we just heard from him as well. Check out his game story, WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton was our reporter. Tom Matty is our engineer. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Kulziel. Buffalo wins it 4-1 in Dallas over the Stars. 10 straight wins. They'll go for 11 Saturday in Columbus. Have a great rest of 2025, the 34 minutes left that remain. Happy New Year, everybody, and we'll talk to you Saturday with Buffalo in Columbus, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.